T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome in. Happy Wednesday. Sports Daily, Shane and Bruce. For those of you super sharp people, we're starting at the top of the hour.
Wow.
No NFL Network update. No other stuff. Fight. We had a fight at the Fog. Oh, wow. My gosh. Where to begin with the fight at the Fog? A otherwise snooze fest of a Sunflower Showdown was marred with a brawl at the very end of that game. And the likes of which, honestly, Bruce, have we seen a fight like this side of the Malice at the Palace? This was gross, man.
It was gross.
Good. Not good.
Anytime that you drop your jaw at something, which this was kind of a jaw-dropping fight, and that's if you were hanging with the game, by the way,
right,
at the very end, because you could have been, it would have been very much understood if you had gone somewhere else.
So yes.
Reruns of ALF, the Cooking Channel, anything. Well,
ALF drop.
I mean,
that's fantastic.
I mean, it was ridiculously one-sided, which we talked about yesterday, and the difference between the two teams was pretty, I mean, I thought reflected pretty accurately.
Yeah.
And then all hell broke loose, I think that you can probably trace it back to the steal.
Let's start there, can we?
Yeah.
Let's get this out because it was overzealous.
It was overzealous, and I've seen people say, well, you can't teach kids to play to the final whistle and then take exception.
Nine of the other ten players on the floor knew the game was over.
Yes.
And
I'm not
placing blame, but this is twice now this year that we've seen a knuckleheaded move at the end of a blowout game. One by Monmouth? The dude, was that Monmouth?
Yeah.
It was like 112 to 50-something? Anyway.
Now we want to give credit where it's due. We'll have to kind of revisit that.
Well,
that, yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about. The
right.
guy that stole the ball, went down, dunked. They were down 50. He got a technical for jawing,
right,
and we all were like, kind of laughed, but kind of
like, come on, dude.
Like,
come
really?
On.
That's not an unwritten rule, but yeah, kind of. We're all quitting. The game's over. And you know what? If you want to play the, well, he's just playing till the whistle. What if KU would have scored? The game's not over. Why, Monmouth was the correct the game. It was Monmouth.
Yeah, I mean, if they had finished the game with a bent arm slam because, you know, we're playing to the final whistle, I mean, there are certain things that you know, and this is one of them. You don't. The team's playing out the clock. You don't make a steal and try to make an aggressive play at the basket. I mean, you're down, what are you, 19, 21 down,
22,
whatever it is?
22.
22 down. I mean, come on, please.
Well, and here's
stop.
The other thing. Okay, so after the knuckleheaded move with the steal, when DeSosa had basically no-mossed it, he goes down and spikes one into the ninth row, which, you know what, I don't have a problem with.
I didn't have a problem with it at all.
Because if you want to play to the buzzer, then he's got every right to plant your shot into the stands. It was after that, obviously. Now
it was the glowering and the poster and the posturing afterwards.
You know what, though? I hate to inject myself into this thing because I don't care one way or the other about KU or K-State. But is hovering over a guy taunting? Is what that was? He was taunting. After
and he got teed for
and
it,
and he got
right?
teed up. Is that
and he got teed
is
for
that
it.
Bench clearing worthy?
No,
because you would have thought he pulled out a gun, the way everybody from both teams rushed out onto the floor and looked like they couldn't wait to fight. I mean, it was
right
heated quick, and then of course DeSosa.
Well, and then
picking
pushing and shoving became swinging.
And the plainclothes K-State injured guy, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, is a kid named James Love. Is that right?
I think that is correct.
Who was the player that was, you know, injured, not in uniform, but went out and, well, started throwing punches.
He got after it. And then obviously it escalates, and then the grabbing the stool, the chair, whatever we're calling it. I'm calling it a stool, a little courtside seat that they use for timeouts. I mean, it was ugly. There's plenty of I don't know. Let KU, K-State, the Big 12 figure it out.
No, don't and let I'll KU, very... K-State figure it out. Let the Big 12 or someone else. Because
I would prefer that.
Yeah, take this out of the coach's hands. Well, I know it's probably not going to be deemed fair because KU is number 3 in the country and K-State's not really going anywhere. But that's a brawl, okay? And I don't think, and I said it last night on Twitter, I don't think Silvio DeSosa can survive this.
Probably not.
The optics of him having a stool over the top of his head cocked and ready to use it, whether he used it or not, I don't think Kansas can go forward with Silvio DeSosa on their
team. It's a bad image.
It's a terrible image.
It's a really bad optic. And what I mean by KU and K-State, I think that they need to self-police first. Let's see what they do just from a standpoint of internal discipline. But the overriding discipline has got to be meted out by the Big 12.
And
if,
in addition to the stool thing, he and David McCormick were basically standing over, and it looked like they were kicking, who I assume was James Love, one of the instigators of the fight, the plainclothes K-State guy that came in throwing punches underneath the basket, which, by the way, also happened in the handicap section.
Yeah.
Which the only thing
to make it look that much it look that much worse,
right? So, I guess there's not a good part of this, but the fact that everybody and their mom had a video on their phone of this melee, we'll be able to identify every last person that was involved in this thing, and
absolutely,
they'll be, you know. Looking over this
layers
from
of
so
discipline.
So many, yeah,
and layers
I, again,
of discipline.
I think Silvio DeSosa has played his last game as a Jayhawk, and
that'll be interesting to see. I don't know about that, but possibly. The interesting facet of this was that there was technically 1 second left in the game, and you had players leaving the bench.
Well, every single play – well, and the officials called them all back because there was time left on the clock and there was a technical foul called. But the only people that were allowed to come back were the players on the floor because everybody else was ejected.
Right.
If you leave the bench to participate in a fight or anything else, you're automatically ejected. So there were no other players allowed to even come back because they all got kicked out of the game.
Is there immediate carryover in terms of suspension for the next game if you are involved with something like that?
I don't know about the Big 12 rule, but I bet there's something in place
like
that.
I'll bet you there is.
Now, here's the interesting part. If that's the case, the Big 12's got to stagger the suspensions, don't they? So KU and or K-State can field the team on Saturday?
You would think.
I mean, that's how it's got to be if they're all suspended for a half or a game. We're speculating here on the Big 12 rules of being ejected. But you can't – like KU can't go into the Tennessee game and K-State can't go into the Alabama game with 5 guys. Like,
no.
Can't do that. Yeah, you talk about layers. Whew.
Lots of layers.
Man.
Incredible and so ugly. Just ugly.
That's a rivalry game, but I cannot believe how that thing escalated. Like, it'd be one thing if it was a one-possession game and both teams just played their guts out and there was a Kurt Rambis Kevin McHale foul, you know, where somebody got clotheslined and tensions were running high. That game was over, and it was never a game. I guess that just goes to show you how much these guys hate each other.
Were there a lot of – I mean, and maybe I wasn't locked in, and I apologize for not being locked in on a 20-point game, but was there – were there bones of contention during that game? That were there moments of high tension and our blood is I didn't see that. I mean, I saw
it was never a game
that was
how
a blowout.
How could there have been? Yeah, it was
right.
What was it? 39-23 at halftime or something like that. It was just
basically getting the clock to zero so we can get out of there.
Yep.
It was that kind of game.
All right. If you got thoughts, and I'm sure there are plenty that do, 869-1240. I guess we're open for who started it, who's to blame, although I can't imagine it's much different than 50-50, even if you have your KU or K-State glasses on, depending on your allegiance. But it's not a good look for either team. I can promise you that. And no. I don't think there's any disputing it looks bad for both. 869-1240 is the Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline. If you got thoughts on it, Kevin, you're first in. What do you think?
Good morning, gentlemen. I bleed crimson and blue, okay. And I think DeSosa should never put on a KU uniform again. I think not only should he be suspended for the rest of this year, but I'm not quite sure if he has another year of eligibility. He should be invited to go take his talent somewhere else. Let's just put it that way.
So you, me, and Dick Vitale all believe that Silvio has played his last game. He's only a sophomore, by the way. That answers
Good
that.
Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like you think of him like Perry Ellis. He's been at Kansas for 5 years already, and he's still a sophomore.
Yeah.
It's like, but
redshirt sophomore.
If I was Bill Self, I would invite him to take his talents elsewhere because he has been nothing but a heartache ever since he stepped foot on campus.
He has for different reasons. He's a decent part of the reason that the FBI investigation made their way to Lawrence, suspended last year for his role in the case that the FBI investigated. I was supposed to sit out this season as well, if you forgot about that, but the school appealed the decision allowing him to return to the court. ESPN article by Myron Metcalf says he's a junior. The bio on ESPN says he's a sophomore, but regardless, he's not a senior, so he technically still has eligibility left. And I hate to bring this up, but the fact that he played 4 minutes last night and he hasn't done much else would make this decision all the more easy, I would think, for Bill Self and or Jeff Long, that you would part ways with the guy. And I hate to bring up worth to the team, because that's...
Well, but there's a human element in it, and obviously, and here's one thing, and I, look, I hear you, Kevin, and they've tried, obviously, for, the kid's not a vital cog to KU's aspirations. I think that we can see that. He's not playing. He's not really contributing.
4 minutes last night in a blowout.
He has contributed.
What was the deal last year?
Two years ago.
Somebody got hurt,
Was it 2 years ago that KU got to the Final Four? I can't remember.
They went fairly deep, and he played pretty good.
He played well.
He was pressed into service.
But he has not been able to find that since then. He just hasn't. So, okay, the competitive element you put aside, yes, you're right. From that standpoint, it would be easier to cut the losses and say, okay, look, we've done what we can with you. Off you go. Best of luck to you. We'll help you out. I'm sure that Bill Self and Jeff Long could find him a suitable home to continue his education, because that's important. There's obviously a human element here. They've done a lot of work to try to keep him into the program. You can make your jokes or whatever you want here as it relates to that. But they really have. They've tried desperately to, I don't know, do what's right by this kid.
Yeah.
And to keep him in the program.
Yep.
So obviously there's much more that goes into this and than just the, you know,
and
he's playing 4 minutes a
game. Before last night, you tip your cap to the kid for sticking this out. I mean, he was suspended for an entire year and elected to stay in school. So good on him for that. But
exactly.
They've already got – they already have made up T-shirts, memes, and logos with him with that stool over his head. And that'll live forever. KU Pat is in. All right, Pat, what do you think? You're KU guy.
Well, you know, look, Mike Golic said it this morning. I agree with him. He said Gordon lit the match. But having said that, you know, both teams are to blame for this. I thought both coaches, and I'm not a fan of Bruce Weber. I thought he handled it well. But I've got a couple of questions for you to ask Brian Haney. I'm concerned, is KU even going to be able to have enough players to play Saturday against Tennessee? Because if you suspend everybody who came off the bench, that leaves about three players, the walk-ons that were in the game.
Well, to answer that question, and I'm speculating here, but NCAA baseball rules, and this is according to Greg on Twitter, who I have on very good authority, he knows what he's talking about. NCAA baseball rules allow for a staggering of suspensions. So the next game wouldn't be forfeited or be impossible to play, which would be the case here. So I would imagine if that's the case, if all the players that came off the bench were suspended because of their role in the fight, they would stagger those suspensions so you could at least play the next game.
Well, and then the other question, I also have a real problem with Dave. And D'Souza's gone, and I don't think anybody cares. McCormick, what he did was unforgivable, and he's a good kid. My question, if you might ask Brian Haney, if McCormick is suspended many games or maybe kicked off the team for the rest of the season, do you take the red shirt off Mitch Lightfoot this late? Because KU doesn't have any other big men. I mean, this has repercussions that are so vast. And then, of course, KU's got to go to Manhattan yet. And I am really concerned about that because, you know, there was a near riot 3 or 4 years ago. And so anyway, it's
– And I hate to –
I blame KU more than I do K-State for this.
Sure.
Okay.
But both teams are at fault.
And I hate,
I agree.
Paint K-State into the black hat or the bad guy situation here. But to KU Pat's point of the trip back to Manhattan – I doubt K-State will have one single thing to play for as far as postseason is concerned, and KU probably will.
Yeah.
And so that's why you should be concerned as a KU fan.
Yeah, it was an ugly look. And what I saw is that Garrett and Abaji, although they didn't throw any punches, I saw them.
McCormick was basically standing over the plainclothes kid, and it looked like he was kicking him, right? Is that what you're talking about?
McCormick's the one I'm worried. Yeah. McCormick's the one that I think probably is in trouble.
The rest of the year. So, real selfish action and ugly look. So, but I thought immediately about, are they going to pull the red shirt off Lightfoot?
Yeah.
Because anyway,
that would be
thanks, guys.
Thank you, and that would be a speculation on Brian's part. And to his credit, he's not going to know or probably speculate until the actual punishments come down. This is just a hypothetical. You know, if D'Souza and McCormick get kicked off the team, what do you think they're going to do with Mitch Lightfoot? I mean, that would probably paint Brian into a tough corner. And
well, really, McCormick's the big question, isn't it? If you're going to distill everything down to a competitive question in this situation, McCormick becomes the big question.
Mm-hmm.
D'Souza, we'll see what ends up happening. I, like you, would be very surprised if he plays. Well, you know something? Nothing surprises me. So I'll pull that back. I don't think we're going to see him for a long time. Let me just say that. And I would be surprised if we do.
Well, okay. When's the last time you saw college basketball players fighting? I've been racking my brain all morning. Like a college basketball fight, a real one.
Like what we saw last night, a knockdown drag out. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going
punches
back to
being thrown the whole nine yards.
Meta World Peace was not named Meta World Peace.
No.
Or Jeff Van Gundy.
It's hard for me to remember.
Grabbing onto Alonzo Mourning's foot. I mean, a real fight? Those don't happen in basketball, and especially at the college level. So doesn't that make punishment tougher? We don't have really any precedent to go on, do we?
And I don't even know how much of a guide that would be unless it's happened in the Big 12.
Yeah.
The Big 12 will rule on this. Think about what's at stake here.
For Kansas especially.
Kansas is ranked third in the country.
Yep.
And here we are. And there's pretty damning video evidence of one of their main guys, in this case David McCormick, being involved. And I wasn't at that level. I can't. But it doesn't appear that he was exchanging recipes with whomever that kid was.
Pinterest.
I get it. I get the heat of the moment.
Yeah, but the big...
Unfortunately, maybe
the biggest problem, though, is that both coaches and coaching staffs couldn't keep everybody on the bench.
Like the whole damn
team for both teams ended up in the handicap section. Like...
Absolutely. Just incredibly ugly in Lawrence last night.
Took an hour and a half of sleep away from me, I can tell you that. Jerks.
Ooh.
Thanks a lot.
The ramifications of which are probably going to be pretty far-reaching. And we'll hope to have Brian Haney on at the top of the second hour. Get his courtside view of the whole thing. We'll have to see how it plays out. All right. Plenty more to unpack. We'll chat more about the K-State melee, fracas, Donnybrook, fill in the blank, ugliness, that's for sure. Ugly in a different way, Wichita State and South Florida, but the Shockers do what they need to do. Was it really a bounce-back game? We'll talk about that as we continue as well. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.